This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. For the end of our show today, we're revisiting my conversation about the movie-oriented social media site Letterboxd. We first brought you this conversation back in January. Because this was taped ahead of time, we are not taking calls, but as ever, you can let us know what you thought by emailing us. The address is talk@21stshow.org. Here now is that conversation. As we all know, many once routine activities have been put on pause or modified because of the pandemic. Going to movie theaters is among them, and with streaming services widely available, new releases have found a way of reaching new audiences. But setting those aside, movie buffs are finding their time at home during the pandemic as a way to reconnect with old favorites and finally getting through their watch lists. As more people are sitting at home watching films, many have turned to the social media platform Letterboxd to rate and candidly share their opinions about movies. Within the past year, Letterboxd has doubled its user base from 1.5 million to more than 3 million people today. And while Letterboxd has grown in popularity, so too has some of its users. Among the most popular on the site is a Central Illinois native, Lucy May, who's joining us today. Lucy, welcome to The 21st.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. And we are also joined from around the globe and very early in the morning in her time, Gemma Gracewood, who is the editor-in-chief at Letterboxd. Gemma, welcome to The 21st. Thanks for getting up with the sun to be with us today.
Kia ora. Good morning, Brian. I'm usually up at this hour. Because we have so many people in North America who want to talk to us on a daily basis. So yeah. It's great.
And you are a better early bird than I am then. So, Gemma, for our listeners who are maybe new to Letterboxd, how do you describe it to people?
Oh, how do I describe it to people? I guess one of the most popular ways that you can find an entry point for someone who's never, ever been on Letterboxd is to say it's like the Goodreads, but for movies. If you know Goodreads, which is the site for essentially logging your book reading habits. But more than that, it's about sharing your taste in film. And so, at a very simple level, it's a diary where you can just simply track which movies you've seen on which days. And that's it. And for some people, for many, many of our members, that's all it is. But you can go further than that. You can review those movies. You can organize movies into lists that make sense for you, like if you're doing a ranking of a particular director's filmography. You can also follow other members and you can comment on their reviews and so open up the conversation around a particular movie. And I just have to say I'm a little bit starstruck to be on the same interview as Lucy May, who is really incredible. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, Gemma. It's really nice to meet you, actually. I'm starstruck myself.
So we are essentially a platform for people who want to, there are millions of people out there who are still not on Letterboxd but have spreadsheets, assiduous notebooks or spreadsheets at home of every film they've ever seen over the last several decades. And one of our founders, Matthew, was exactly one of those people. And so Letterboxd was really a way for him to get off the spreadsheet and organize his film viewing somewhere that made more sense, that looked more beautiful, and that invited other people into that habit.
Yeah, I have a plastic bin of ticket stubs going back more than a decade.
You're one of those. Are you on Letterboxd, Brian? What's your handle?
I am. It's just my name, Brian Mackey. I tend to be an unoriginal in social media usernames. I also like the idea, and we can talk about this later, but you mentioned it as a sort of taste in movies, and there's the taste I project to the world, which is Hitchcock and the Tree of Life, and then the revealed taste, which is I end up watching a lot of Star Wars with my kids,
That is my favorite thing about the kind of the stats machine behind Letterboxd is, what I watch, what I really watch.
Yeah, exactly.
And for me, it's, Paddington and Paddington 2 every other week.
All right. Well, with the great buildup we've had, Lucy, I want to bring you into the conversation. So, since joining Letterboxd in 2015, you've reviewed more than 2,000 films from the dawn of cinema to the present. So have you always been an avid movie person?
That's a lot of films, actually. I have. I've been very into film since I was really young and a teenager as well. I started to kind of realize that it was like what I wanted to focus my career around in some way. And so watching films was just a part of that. And when I found Letterboxd, it was like I finally started using it, and it was just perfect for me. It was being able to put all my thoughts out. And it took a few years, but I finally started. When I first used it, I would only write a sentence or two in a review, because in that point in my life, I didn't know how to like express my opinions on film in writing. And then after a few years of using this site, I started finding the words. And as like my world of films got bigger, I think that my writing got a little better, hopefully. And so, yeah, I love to be able to put my thoughts into it.
And Lucy, I understand you've worked at a movie theater for the last 4 years. I wonder if you can talk about what it's been like to grow your film community from your coworkers and friends at a theater to more than 60,000 people following you on Letterboxd.
The two actually don't usually kind of combine for me. I tend to keep my Letterboxd kind of a thing that I do online. And then some people that I know, they do know about it. But like, for instance, when I was at work, most of the conversation would take place about Marvel movies. So we would talk a lot about those and, you know, other superhero movies. And then, you know, when I go on Letterboxd, we would talk more about like, you know, French films or New Wave or something like that. So it kind of satisfied different stomachs, different like kinds of films that I would talk about.
Yeah, I guess you don't get a lot of New Wave at the multiplex.
Not really, no.
You mentioned a lot of the reviews you wrote, especially starting on, were short, right? And mm-hmm. at least when you compare them to the typical sort of reviews you see in newspapers or magazines, can you just talk about your style for evaluating a movie, writing about a movie? What is it about that that you think resonates with the people who follow you?
I think it's because I've always written from a personal standpoint. Maybe even at the beginning, when I actually looked at my own stats last night, and for the first, you know, about 3 years, I would write what we typically on Letterboxd call like joke reviews. And they typically are like a sentence or two, and sometimes they're referencing a pop culture thing or something, just making a joke. And so those can be really fun, and I really enjoy those. And I think it kind of is the glue that holds the site together and makes it fun. But for my writing, as it's developed, I didn't used to write or see myself as a writer. So when I finally started getting into writing lengthy reviews, they were from a personal standpoint. And I've always liked writing and found it fairly easy to do, but never really sought it out before using Letterboxd. But when a film has like an emotional impact on me, sometimes I have to write about it in that way, or it feels like I'm almost bottling something up. Like for me, when I write about a movie like Titanic, I have trouble just like making a short thing or kind of not even reviewing it, just logging it. I have to kind of like dive into my feelings and put them down. And I really, when it comes down to it, Letterboxd is a space for me to be sincere. Whether I feel like writing that day or making a joke instead is always up to me. And it always depends on how I'm feeling. I just use it as a diary at the end of the day.
If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the social networking site Letterboxd, which is a way for people who are passionate about movies to share their taste in film with other users on the site. We're speaking with Lucy May, who is a popular member of Letterboxd from Central Illinois, as well as Gemma Gracewood, who's the editor-in-chief and joining us from New Zealand, where it is morning. Gemma, I want to ask if, you know, I was thinking about Letterboxd, and we hear about social media all the time. It's meant to connect people. But so often on Facebook, it's the people we went to school with, or maybe that we've worked with in the past. Twitter, people are following celebrities and politicians. But I've heard through other media appearances you've done and with people that Letterboxd users are really connecting with strangers in some cases over this shared love for film. Maybe they don't find those connections in real life. Is that something, is that an accurate read of what you've experienced from some of the users on the site?
Absolutely. I mean, we have seen the spectrum of people who have friendships that formed at film festivals because they mentioned on Letterboxd that they were going to be at that festival and organised a gathering while there, and, you know, have done that every year since. And these are people coming, you know, from all over the world to Toronto, for example. So there's a couple I know who live just outside of Toronto who are now, you know, deeply good friends with someone in New York and someone in Denmark based on gathering every year at that festival because they talked about it on Letterboxd. But we also know of marriages and babies that have occurred because of people chatting to each other and their, you know, film review comments, which is so beautiful. And one of the things that I think is really important to realize as large corporations continue to, you know, try to find ways of reaching into people's pockets through demographics is that, you know, the great thing about love of film is that it doesn't really have a demographic. You can't sort of go, oh, women love that movie, because actually you might find that Brian loves that movie and I love that movie and Lucy loves that movie, and we, you know, we live in three different places and we've never met, but we might meet in the comments under one of our reviews on that movie. So one of the things we're often asked for is sort of going slightly off track as a recommendation engine, you know, so you log on to Letterboxd, you log a film, and then maybe there's a pop-up that says, great, if you like that film, you love this film. And we don't want to do that because we don't want an AI algorithm to sort of make some suppositions about your activity. We want you to follow other members whose film watching is either similar to yours or completely different, but their writing about it is amazing. And you want to know what it is, you know, they see in that movie. So you go and watch that movie, which you may never have watched, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. One of the things I like doing is, you know, I will find some obscure old, well, obscure to me, older movie on the Criterion Channel, and then you log on and see who else has watched it. And it feels like such a solitary experience sitting on my couch streaming a movie late at night. But then you can see maybe only a couple dozen people, maybe hundreds of people have logged the film.
Oh, one of my favorite recent experiences was, I mean, Letterboxd goes a bit nutty in the festive season around Christmas movies. And, you know, it was sort of all the usual suspects. And I thought, there must be some other festive or Christmas type movies that I'm missing out there. So I kind of went digging around some of the people I follow who are from Europe, and found this whole other culture of Polish remakes of fairy tales, which are very, very, very popular at Christmas, and found a 1970s version of Cinderella, I think Cinderella and the Three Walnuts, which was one of the best films I saw in 2020.
Wow. I will maybe check that out. No commitment. Lucy,
the
May,
costumes
we've only...
are amazing. The costumes are to die for. And it felt like a particularly feminist take on the Cinderella tale that we haven't even seen in recent takes on Cinderella.
Yeah, that does sound interesting. Lucy May, only about a minute left in the conversation. I guess I have to ask, what is your favorite? Do you have a favorite movie of all time? What's in your... on Letterboxd, you can set sort of like what your top movies are. What is your top movie?
I have to say, and it gives me away if you check out my profile this past week, my favorite has to be Amelie, the French film, because I have actually logged it. I've rewatched it about three times in January already.
It's the best.
It's so good.
Saw that in the theater twice, dragged my girlfriend, now wife, to see it. And she is not a huge fan of foreign language cinema, but I also heartily recommend Amelie.
Yeah, Lucy just May... needs to overcome the one inch barrier of subtitles, Brian.
This has been a fun conversation. We've been speaking with Lucy May, who is a popular member of the social networking site Letterboxd for movie lovers. She's from Central Illinois, as well as Gemma Gracewood, who is the editor-in-chief of Letterboxd, joining us via Zoom through the magic of technology from New Zealand, where it is early in the morning. Gemma, Lucy, thank you so much for being with us today on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Brian. Total pleasure.
And that is all the time we have for today. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Scholark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.